Okay. Perek Gimel, the third chapter of Tanya. So now, what the Alter Rebbe does is as follows. So we've discussed, let me just summarize. So in the first two prakim, the Alter Rebbe, first of all, laid the foundation that we need to understand the true meaning of the terms Tzaddik, Rasha, and Beinoni. Okay, that's the foundation of Tanya. With the view in mind that the Beinoni is the aspiration, the Rasha, in the true sense of the word, is probably what most of us are, and the Tzaddik is only happens to a few people. Then he introduced it by saying there's a Nefesh Abamis and Nefesh Elokis. So last two prakim, the end of Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, was all about defining what the two neshamas are. They're much deeper than just behaviors, their mindsets, their personalities, their identities. So Nefesh Abamis is animalistic, it's about self-preservation, it's about physical preservation, and so on and so forth. It's part of Klippa, it's part of the world, it's part of the concealment of Elokus. Can be managed, can be channeled, but that needs to a lot of work. There are the bad midas that we have come from the Nefesh HaBamis, some good thing comes from it too, but that's basically what Nefesh HaBamis is. Nefesh HaLakis is a whole different category, it's a completely different reality. We spoke about this last week at length, it's godly, it's in the chelek alakami mamamish, it's a portion of Hashem, so to speak, and he explained last week why there's different madregas, different levels of neshamas, but ultimately they all connect to the original madrega, to the blowing of Hashem, to the thought of Hashem, to the chokhmah of Hashem, and Hashem and his chokhmah are one, and so on and so forth. Okay. Now I was going to start to break down the layers of the nefesh. This is all the essence of what the Nefesh HaBamis is and Nefesh HaLakis. But how does the Nefesh HaLakis, Nefesh HaBamis function? How do they express themselves, right? So the next couple of chapters, it's focused more on the Nefesh HaLakis. That's important to understand because the examples he's going to give are all Nefesh HaLakis stuff. He's going to talk about the 10 powers of the Nefesh HaLakis. Now, the Nefesh HaBamis also has 10 powers, which we'll get to in a few chapters, but now he's focusing on the 10 powers of the Nefesh HaLakis. Let's see what he says. V'hinei, Perek Gimel, right? Kol b'chino madregim v'sholosh elu, every aspect and level of these three conscious levels of the neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Remember, the nefesh, there's five levels. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama is the conscious levels of the Neshama. These three levels, Kalula Me'eser Bechinas, they incorporate 10 concepts, 10 powers. Why 10 powers? Keneged Eser Sphirus Elyonis, corresponding to the 10 supernal spheres, right? So we explained, we talked about the world of Atzilis, we explained that Hashem also has 10 powers. His own powers, his own chokhmah, his own binah, his own das, and so on, right? And the nefesh HaLakis also has 10 powers, which are connected, correspond to the 10 spheres of Hashem, right? Now, we explained that when we talk about Hashem's 10 spheres, it's by choice, meaning Hashem is not defined. Hashem cannot be defined by 10 descriptions, right? He has no description whatsoever. He's above definition, and because above definition is infinite, anything can come from him, and so on. So what's the concept of 10? It's Hashem chose to manifest himself in 10 ways, and that's the world of Atzilus, Hashem's 10 spheres, right?
And those 10 are only in the first three layers of the soul.
Yeah, because the conscious layers. The subconscious is what drives the 10. So, for example, in the fourth layer, the fifth layer is a different thing. The fifth layer is Yechid, that's something else. But the fourth layer, higher, is the idea of rotzen, like the idea of will, desire, stronger conviction. In other words, what drives the tense spheres. So there's not, yeah, that's more what we call makif. Makif means it's transcendent, it's encompassing. Whereas the three layers are more internal, they're called pnimi. In other words, they're conscious, they're part of who we are, that we can be defined, they can be broken up. And that's where the 10 powers live, right? More specifically, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Nefesh is where behavior lives. In other words, where the 10 spheres express itself in thought, speech, and action. Ruach is where emotions are emphasized, and Neshama is where Chacham and Das is emphasized. Right? But really, the 10 have to do with all three. And in fact, what he's really saying is that every one of these three layers kind of have all 10. But it's a matter of emphasis. It's not so relevant to the discussion, but I'm saying this is what really he's talking about. So it's in those three levels. All right? Now he says the language that Alter Rebbe uses is like this. He says they keneged eser sfiris al yonis. These 10 correspond to the 10 supernal spheres, meaning Hashem's spheres. And then he adds two words. Shenishtalshelu mehem. Why do they correspond to the 10 supernal godly spheres? Because they are nishtalshel, they evolve from those spheres. Right? Now, that's a very powerful... I'm sorry? Yeah. But when you say something is corresponding to something else, it's just that... They mirror. It's chesed, it's chesed, right? When you say, now he's adding something, he's saying deeper. Not only they correspond because they come from it. Shenishtalshlum, and they evolve. The 10 koiches, the 10 powers Anu Shama has in Afshalakis, evolves from the 10 powers of Hashem. Right? Now, the truth is, they're not... So this be understood. This so we get it clear, because the truth is everything in the world is an outcome of the 10 spheres, right? So I want to just explain that a little bit because it's a fundamental concept. The truth is like this: why does Hashem need 10 spheres? So it's a famous debate. Not all the Mekubalim, not all the Kabbalists actually agreed there were 10 spheres. It's a debate in Kabbalah itself. We follow the Kabbalah of the Arizal. Right, in Hasidus in general, not only Hasidus, the very very large part of the Sephardi world, the Kabbalists of the Sephardi, like the Ben Ish Chai, the Chidah, in Chabad, in other Hasidim also, the authoritative Kabbalah is the Kabbalah of Arizal. We have a tradition that Arizal learned Kabbalah with Eliyahu HaNavi, right? Eliyahu had a vision of Eliyahu HaNavi, and he learned for many years Kabbalah with him. And that's the take with it. But why I'm bringing out the not that the other Mekubalim weren't great, they were very great, but we accept the Kabbalah of the Rizal. The Rizal had this whole idea of 10 spheres, right? And Hashem has 10 spheres. Why did the other Mekubalim say we don't need the idea of spheres? Why Hashem doesn't have spheres? Because Hashem is Keliach, he's he can do what he wants. He doesn't need 10 spheres to create the world. He wants it to be mountains, it'll be mountains. He wants it to be fire, it'll be fire, it'll be water, it'll be water. He doesn't need to go through all the process of 10 spheres, right? In other words, normally we say like this, Hashem had 10 spheres, his own 10 spheres. Then from those 10 spheres came the 10 spheres of Bria, then Yetzira, then Asiya. And then Asiya created through Tzimtzum and Tzimtzum and Tzimtzum, after one after another, eventually you have the physical world, but it all connects back to the spheres. So when you have fire, for example, that's Gvura, when you have water, that's Chesed, right? Ultimately connecting to Hashem's Chesed, Hashem's Gvura, and so on. They say, what do you need this for? If Hashem doesn't need his own chesed to create water. He doesn't need his own gvura to create fire. Hashem, whatever he wants, he wants. He wants it to be a world, it'll be a world. He wants it to be a world with lots of details, with mountains and flowers and trees and fire and water. It'll be. What do you need the 10 spheres thing for, right? What was that? Why is that step necessary? He wants to conceal himself and just create a world that's not obvious and doesn't reveal him. He said, I'll do that. Okay. So, the Baal Shem Tov alludes to this explanation. The Alter Rebbe brings it later on in Tanya, in the second part of Tanya, and the Rebbe has a whole talk on it. An amazing idea. I'm explaining to you this because really what I want to get is to the chiddush of the ten powers of the Nefesh HaKis. But let me explain the 10 powers generally in the world, right? Hashem could do everything, that's true. Of course he can. Hashem created the world for a particular purpose. And obviously the purpose of the world is to connect the world with Hashem, to reveal Hashem in the world. Now, it was we have to show that ultimately, although it's so not obvious, all the world seems like a completely separate entity and separate reality, and everything is conceals God, we have to reveal that Hashem is he's intrinsically connected with every single detail of the world, right? If Hashem would just create a world because he wants to, so obviously the world would still be part of his reality. In other words, the world cannot exist on its own, right? The world, because Hashem has to recreate the world every second, like the Baal Shem Tov said, Hashem, the world wouldn't be able to exist on its own, therefore it wouldn't be its own really independent existence. Its reality would be completely dependable on Hashem's reality, right? Okay, true, that would still happen. However, we wouldn't be able to recognize a direct link in the details of the world to Hashem. I mean like this. We say, of course, everything that exists can only exist because of Hashem. True. But the fact that the properties of the will, for example, the fact that fire goes up and water goes down, to give an example, right? We wouldn't see in those details what's that, what in that, how does it manifest itself in those specifics? That's all part of Hashem. How do we connect those specifics specifically to Hashem? The fact that dafka, water goes down and this goes up, what? Is that because just Hashem wanted, or do we see in the specifics of the world, we can see godliness? And Hashem ultimately wanted us to discover in every detail of the world, not just in the world at large, but in every specific and every minutiae of the world, to discover God within that specific. How did he do that? That's why, according to Rizal, he started with his own 10 spheres. Right? So Hashem starts off by through a choice of tzimtzum, through a choice of limiting himself, of expressing himself, of manifesting himself in 10 specific concepts. Chochem and Adas, Chesed, Word, Tiferes, and so on. Of course, they're completely different, him and his spheres. So one, as the Rambam says, as Tani brought before, they're infinite, and so on, and not kind of the same Chochem as we have, and so on. But they have certain properties, right? Like we'll learn later, Chochmah is the kernel of truth, Bina is the building. But Hashem's Chochmah is the same thing, just on a completely different reality, a different level, obviously, right? What's the point of that? Because then everything else comes from those things. That's why every world is governed by 10 spheres. And that's why even in this physical world where we can't see Hashem at all, if we study and we understand, we'll discover Hashem in every specific. So why does fire go up, go away from the world? Because fire is Gevurah. In other words, what do we see in the fire? The specifics of fire, the fiery part of it, the chamimus, the whole idea of warmth and fire and things is gevura. It's all gevura, right? So where does gevura come from? It's an outcome of the gevura of the world of Asiya. Where does the gevura of the world of Asiya come from? The gevura of Yitzira. Where does the Yitzira come from? The world of Bria. Where does that come from? The world of Atzilus. In other words, connects directly to Hashem's spheres and Hashem and his spheres so on. So in other words, in every detail of the world, there's godliness. Godliness is revealed. I give fire and water as an example, because those are simple examples. Obviously, we don't necessarily get every single detail of every single world, because obviously there's lots of combinations and permutations and all kinds of things, right? But everything, the 10 utterances of Hashem created the world, is 10 spheres.
So how do these other kabbalists explain the meaning of anything?
They say Hashem wanted it to happen. Hashem wanted it to be fire, water, so it's fire and water. Right? No, but they didn't learn like that. It has to be specific reflection. It's a reflection because it just can't exist without Hashem, so therefore it's Hashem. But not that God is revealed in every minutiae. In other words, there wouldn't be a link between the content of the world and Hashem.
So it's a fundamentally different way of seeing.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. That's
Who are those Kabbalists?
No, they were great people. I think is it the Paradise? I've forgotten which one doesn't have spheres. No, they were tremendously great people. No. Sorry?
They're not saying that's different, are they?
No, they're saying they also believe that the world is completely nullified towards Hashem and it's nothing, of course. But they don't have this chiddush where
everything gives us a purchase on Hashem.
Yeah, everything gives us a reflection of Hashem's manifestation. Right? Yeah, it's a very deep thing. You're right, it's a deeper chiddush. You're right, you're correct. That's what Chassidus, so Chassidus takes that line. I mean, it goes back to the whole thing of making the world Dirbet Tachtonim, why the world was created to begin with, and so on. Revealing Hashem in the world, bringing Hashem into every part of the world. It's all linked, correct. Okay. Having said all of that, there's a huge difference between how the world connects to the 10 spheres and how the 10 powers of our neshama links to the 10 spheres. There's a much deeper link between the 10 powers of the nefesh elokis and the 10 spheres of Atzilus. Much, much deeper link. In other words, only, even though this is true with everything in the world, but only about the 10 powers of the nefesh elokis does the Tanya say, nishtalshelu mehen, that they evolved from. Why? Because the 10 powers of the nefesh elokis, even at its lowest level, are still godly. In other words, they still have a much deeper similarity, so to speak, to the 10 powers, to the 10 spheres of Atzilus than fire and water does. So fire and water ultimately does. In other words, if we study, if we understand, right? But the way they are now, of course, they still, it's more, the appropriate phrase to use for fire and water would be more the first phrase uses for the definition of the key is keneged, that they keneged, they correspond to that silus, right? They're not so much evolved from them. Of course, they do evolve from it, but much more in a hidden way. The Nefesh HaLakis is saying that we have the Nefesh HaLakis, the godly soul here. Yeah,
sorry.
Right? The godly soul has 10, the godly soul has 10 powers which mamish are linked to the 10 spheres. They're not just connected, they're not just correspond to those 10 spheres, but they nishtal shlumen, they evolve from those 10 spheres. Deeper, much more open connection. Okay. Good, so that's what he says. Now, these 10 powers, he says, what are they? First of all, he gives an introduction. Hanechlokos l'shtayim. They are divided into two. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to introduce one of the most fundamental concepts of Tanya, in a way. Shalosh imois b'sheva kfulos. The first three are called three mothers, although elsewhere in Chassidus it breaks it down to father and mother, but they're called three mothers. And ten, and seven doubles. Okay, why is it? It's always difficult to understand what that means. But let me just talk about the three mothers. Three mothers are the three intellectual parts, Chochma, Bina, and Das. Why are they called mothers? Because what we'll see later, we'll see in this parak, and we'll see the rest of Tanya, this is the whole point of Tanya, that the brain gives birth to Midas. The brain, the intellect, gives birth to emotion. Right? Especially in the Nefesh HaLakis. That's why Chochma and Das are referred here to mothers. Later on, we find elsewhere that it's more broken down, that more specifically, the Chochma is called them the father, the Bina is called the mother, whatever. But for now, this is good enough. In other words, you're saying this is just the origin of the emotion is the idea of Chochma and Das. That's why the first three are called the Shalosh Imois, the three mothers. What does it mean, the seven Kfulos? Seven Kfulos are the seven Midas, Choch, Chesed, Wur, Tiferes, and so on. They're called Kfulos, apparently, Mefarshim explained, because in Kabbalah, it says that every Midah can manifest itself in two ways, in a strong way and a weak way, and that's why it's called Kfulos. I don't understand exactly what this means, but that's apparently why they're called Kfulos. Okay. He says, what does that mean? Pirush, to break this down a little bit. It means Chochma, Bina, and Das. You know, the three mothers are the Chochma, Bina, and Das, right? V'shivas Yimei HaBinyan. And the seven, he doesn't call them Midas just yet, he calls them the 7 days of building. What does that sound like to you?
Week.
7 days a week, right? Right. No, that's how Hashem created the world, right? That the 7 days a week correspond to the seven Midas. So Yiches, which is Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on, right? Every day in davening, we refer to these seven spheres. You know that?
Yeah.
No. Every day in davening, Sukkot Zimran. What's that? Before Az Yashu, but they're called a little bit different. They're not called exactly the same names. So we say L'cha Hashem Agadula. If you look before Az Yashu, you can find in Vayivora Dovid. L'cha Hashem Agadula, Ve'agvura, Ve'atiferes, Ve'aneitzach, Ve'ahoid. Right? So first one is Gadula, we'll get to Hoid. First one is Gadula, which is Chesed. That's why some of the Kabbalim. And sometimes in Kabbalah you'll actually find, you won't find the word Chesed, you'll find the word Gedula. Right? I'm just saying, sometimes Chesed is called Gedula, greatness, because that's what Chesed is, it's giving, it's greater, right? Yeah? And then it goes all the way to Hoy, then it says, Ki choyl bashamayim v'oretz, everything that is in heaven and earth, that's Yesoid, because Yesoid is connection, that's why that's the one that connects the heaven with the earth. And then it says, L'cha Hashem ha-mamlocha, to you Hashem is kingdom, that's Malchus. That's the sixth one, right? Seventh one. Robin, you found it?
No, I can't find it.
Okay.
Yeah, I found it. Okay. Okay. So let's go further.
Now, he calls them the Shiva Simei HaBinyan, the 7 days of the building, because it says in the Zohar that the 7 days of Bereshit, the 7 days of creation, the six on Shabbos, is called Yoimin Eloi, the Zohar says. They're supernal days, which means they're really the seven middos. That's what they are, right? You know, it's interesting, we say on Shabbos, right, when we talk about that Hashem rested on Shabbos, we say Ki Sheishas in V'Shomra, right? Ki Sheishas Yomim Hashem, right? In 6 days, Hashem made the heaven and earth, right? That's what it says. 6 days Hashem made the heaven and earth. But you notice, it doesn't say Ki B'Sheishas. It doesn't say in 6 days He made the heaven and earth. Shouldn't it say in 6 days? It says Ki Sheish, because translated literally, Ki, because Sheishas Yomim, 6 days Hashem made. Ki Sheish Hashem, Shemayim V'Aretz, the heaven and the earth, and the seventh day rested. Right? So that's what the Zohar says, that the 6 days don't refer to the 6 days, they refer to the six spheres. He made Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoy, Dizoyt, and Malchus, right? So that's the sixth thing. Okay. So that's Hashem's Midas. That's Hashem's supernal Midas. That's the world of Atzilus. There's Chochem and Adas, that's called the three mothers, and the seven doubles, and that goes all the way till Malchus. Then he says, V'chem and Nefesh Adam, the same thing is the Nefesh of the person. Shenechalekes l'shtayim, that's divided into two. Again, Seichel u'Midas. What's the division between the two? Seichel, intellect, cognition, u'Midas, and emotion. Now, what does this mean? And why is this all only, we said before, only on the conscious part of the neshama? Essentially, these 10 powers of the neshama is how the neshama relates. The neshama is the neshama in its own right, how what it is and the life that it gives, etc. But in terms of how the neshama expresses itself, and in terms of how the neshama relates to the outside world, it's these two categories, seichel and midas. Just so you understand, how does it work? Seichel is the ability to process something from the outside. Midas is the ability to respond to something from the outside. Works differently, right? Right? What that means with Hashem is it needs to be understood exactly the same thing. I mean, mainly, so when you react to someone, that's mainly the concept of midas, right? But before you react, you think about what's happening on the outside, right? So if I see someone in the street that's really homeless or whatever, and I feel compassion, or I feel I want to be kind, I feel I want to do something, right? What's the process there? The process happening is that I first process what I'm seeing. So I'm thinking about the outside, and then I react to the outside, right? So here he breaks it up into two, but really it's also broken up into three in some place. In other words, so you can have an emotion without actually connecting to the outside.
Can't the Anubhumidas influence your intellect?
Sorry?
Can't your Midas influence your intellectual response though?
Yes, more in the animal soul. Correct. So that is true. Later we'll learn. So the way a person is supposed to work is that that's why we're supposed to think first and then react. Because our seichel is supposed to control our midas. Right?
Supposed to, yeah.
Now, in the nefesh of the kis, that's the way it works. Right? We're not born, for example, with natural love to Hashem. We've got to build it up. Which means to think about Hashem first. Right? Which we're going to be talking about now in a second. And our relationship to the world, we need to choose. So our natural relationship to the world is that the midas are very impulsive, they're animalistic. By an animal, the primary force is midas. The seichel is more there to serve the midas. So a bull wants to charge, he uses his head, how to charge, where to charge, what direction to go, right? With a human form of an animal, we use the seichel to post-rationalize, to make up a story, whatever the case is. Okay. But we're not supposed to do that. Even the Nefesh HaBamish, we're supposed to train, was the whole Tanya is about this. Moyach Shalat HaLev, the brain has to rule the heart. Right? So we're supposed to be people that think. We're supposed to be human beings. We go on the street, we process what we're seeing, and then we channel or we decide or we try to conjure up a particular response. Right? Okay. So he's talking that way around for sure now, because he's talking about the Nefesh HaLakis. Yeah? Okay. So I'm just saying, but generally, what are these 10 powers? 10 powers is how we react or relate to the world. So if we break it up a bit more specific, it's actually three. Seichel is processing what's going on outside me, out of me, right? Midas is me responding to the outside, but I'm not necessarily doing anything about it. So for example, a person can be filled with chesed and not do chesed. But it's the feeling of connection to the outside. And then Malchus is actually making it happen, right? So the Midas can be divided into two, the six and the one. Chesed, we've talked about this before, but chesed al yisoid and then Malchus. And with Hashem, it's the same way. Hashem, whatever that means in Hashem's world, obviously his chochom and adas is not processing what's happening outside because the outside isn't happening yet. In Hashem's chochom and adas, it's contemplating, I guess, the outside or whatever that means. Midas is the Midas, chesed is gvura, is the way Hashem relates to the world. And Malchus is the way it actually makes it happen, right? So, okay. But these are the 7 days. So that's how it works. That's the 10 powers of the neshama. Now he's going to start breaking it up. So in this perek, he explains mainly the chochmah and das, and a little bit the others as well. Okay. He said, haseichel, just to break it down a little bit, haseichel gives an introduction. Haseichel, what's the seichel? Koilel chochmah bina v'das. Seichel incorporates chochmah, bina, and das. V'ha midos, how about the midos? Now listen to what he says. In nefesh elokis. He doesn't say chesed gvura tiferes. He says this. He says the midos are avas Hashem, love of Hashem, which is chesed, upachtoi v'yurosoi, or and fear of Hashem, ulefaroi, and then beautifying and glorifying Hashem. Right? So those are midos, those are emotional midos. And basically he mentions the first three, chesed gvura tiferes. So love, of course, comes from chesed. Because what is chesed? We've talked about this a lot on Thursday mornings, but what is chesed? Chesed is connection, any form of connection to something else, right? That's love, giving, and so on and so forth. So in terms, in the context of nefesh elokis, chesed equals avas Hashem, love of Hashem, which then evolves into love of another person, avas Yisrael, giving to another person, tzedakah, and so on and so forth. But in terms of how we relate to Hashem, it's the idea of loving Hashem, right? It's the emotional part of loving Hashem. It's the emotion. Again, it includes lots of other good loves, like loving another person, loving one's spouse, whatever. All these things are all good loves, but there the middah is very, very important, but there the action is the most important thing. Here, love is in itself is a good thing, is an important thing. It's a mitzvah to love Hashem, right? So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that the chesed of nefesh elokis is love Hashem. Yira, we also have a mitzvah to fear Hashem. What does fear Hashem mean? Fear is an emotion of retreat. That's a gvura. Gvura means when you hold back. Like gvura in a simple sense means when I don't give. I'm holding back. Midah can also mean respect. Gvura can also mean fear. Not fear as in being frightened, but fear more as, well, standing back. Like, right? That's the idea of yiras Hashem. Bitul. Idea of surrender. Idea of giving ourselves up to Hashem because we realize the greatness of Hashem. So we stand back and we surrender, right? That's the idea of gevura. It's a more gevuradika idea than love. Okay, they're both important, they're both necessary. Maybe we'll talk about it later, but that's what it is. And then you have tiferes, which is over here. Tiferes is translated differently in different places, but over here it's translated as more the idea of just like sort of being one with Hashem. It's like the oneness with Hashem. Just like do everything for Hashem, glorifying Hashem, putting him on a pedestal, and so on and so forth. Okay, and he says. And before he starts to explain, Chochmah bin Adas says, "Ve'achochmah bin Avedas, Chochmah bin Adas nikru imois." They're called mothers because they are mokar lemidus and a source for the midus. Ki amidois hein toldeis chabad, because the midus come are children of Chochmah bin Adas. The way you develop avas Hashem and yiras Hashem is through the concept of hisbonenus, which, by the way, is a very central theme in Tanya. Right? Part of Tanya is to become a beinoni, you have to be filled with avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. Why? Because becoming a Benyani on a practical level means that you do everything Hashem wants you to do. You don't do Averis. You control your thought, speech, and action, and you do whatever Hashem wants, and you don't do whatever Hashem doesn't want you to do. But the only way to really do that is it needs to be fueled by love and fear of Hashem, and also needs to be carried. The Zohar, later on, it brings all of this, that like the Zohar says, that like Ava and Yira, love Hashem and fear Hashem, are like two wings of the bird. If they don't have the wings, the bird falls. It can't fly. So too, our mitzvahs can't really, it's not just about doing the actions, it's about having beautiful mitzvahs, elevated mitzvahs, mitzvahs that are holy, and mitzvahs that are carried. that need to be carried and fueled by Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, right? Yeah, does that make sense? So that's why that's such an integral part of becoming a Bein. It's not just about controlling ourselves, doing the right thing. It's also about developing on some level at least, which we'll see what that means, but this idea of making your whole world Hashem, which is through love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. That also prevents us from doing things we shouldn't do and causes us to do things we should do and so on and so forth. That's a very, very important part of Tanya, this whole idea of giving birth to the midas of the Nefesh HaLakis through the concept which he refers to as Hisbodinus, through reflection and understanding and learning as much as we can, hence the whole arichos, the whole lengthy explanations that he gives throughout Tanya and Chassidus. Okay. Which, by the way, is something that the Rambam talks about also, just to mention, and we've mentioned this many times, but the Rambam says, the Rambam asks the famous question, how can you have a mitzvah in the Torah to love Hashem? Because it's an emotion. How can you have a mitzvah to love Hashem and fear Hashem? You either love Him or you don't. Right? You can't command. You can command a person to do an action. You can't command a person to have a middah. And the answer that Rambam says, no, that's not the commandment. The commandment is to reflect. The commandment is to understand. And understanding hopefully will bring to the other. When you understand the greatness of something, you love it. Right? You want to be able to think. Okay. So let's see how he breaks this down. He says, "Ubiru in." The explanation of the concept is as follows. So he starts with Chochmah. He says, now we've gone through this many times, but let's see how he explains it in the Tanya. I mean, the source of every time you heard me explain Chochmah, this is the source. This is where it comes from. Right? It says, "Kihine haseichel shem nefesh amaskelis." The seichel, the intellect that comes, that begins from the thinking soul, shua maskil kol dover, which gives birth to a concept, any concept. Meaning, talking about now the kernel, the birth, the conception of an idea, nikra b'shem chachma is called chachma. Right? Why is it called chachma? Because we'll see in a second. So what he's talking about, as I've explained many times, he's talking about this idea, it's the nekudas, the point of the concept, it's the conception of the concept, it's the, what often referred to Chassidus as the bara kamavrik, the flash. Right? So, like you're trying to solve a problem, you're trying to think about something, and suddenly you get it. Flash of truth, an idea, a concept, you finally grab it, but it's just a flash. It's very intense, it's full of truth, although it's not developed or understood at that moment, but it's actually, there's a tremendous flash of clarity. You know what I'm saying? Like the feeling, I got it. What do you get? I can't explain to you, but I got it. Right? Because it's not developed yet, so I can't, but it's absolutely clear. I cracked the code, right? So that's Chochmah. Now, what's it called? It says it's called Chochmah because Koyach Ma. So if you take the letters of Chochmah and you turn them around, you'll find two words, Koyach Ma. So this is interesting, we need to understand this a little bit. Koyach means that the 10 powers of the Neshama are called the 10 Koychos, right? So each one, Chochmah, Bina, Das, Chesed, is called a Koyach. Each one's called a Koyach. A power, I don't know how you translate it. A koyach. Sort of strength. Yeah, it's sort of strength. It's not strength in the terms of strong. It's like more. Yeah. It's one of the tools, let's say, right? So, okay. Chachma is also called a koyach. It's the first koyach, right? But ma, what is it? So it's a koyach and it's not a koyach. Now, it's a very deep idea here, right? Especially when we're talking about understanding Torah, understanding something that's new, and understanding something that's beneficial for us. Because Chochmah is not just the conception of an idea. Chochmah, particularly in the context of the Nefesh HaLakis, is, see, the 10 powers are the functioning, the consciousness of the person, right? But in order to really understand the wisdom of Hashem, in order to understand the greatness of Hashem, in order to connect to Hashem, you need to connect to something higher than your consciousness. But you also need to understand it. Right? So what Chochmah is, as explained in many places, to explain this part of Tanya, Chochmah is the invasion, so to speak, when you're trying harder, you're trying harder, you're trying to go deeper and deeper, suddenly there's a concept that comes from higher than Chochmah that comes into the Chochmah. It's the link between you and higher than you. Between you and the truth which is higher than you. Am I making any sense? Right? No? So I'll tell you differently. So I heard from my father-in-law many times that he used to say, in explaining the Tanya, he used to say like this. The difference between Chochma and Bina. No, let me explain this for you. I'll tell you the same what he said, but let me explain this. Let's say like this. You have a flash of something that, oh, you got it, right? But you can't really explain it yet, yeah? Then you think about it, and you develop it, and you build a building, and you give it depth and breadth, and you develop the idea till you, now you fully understand it, right? Okay. Where do you more understand? The Chochma or Bina?
Bina.
Where is it more powerful?
Chochma.
By Bina, it's really somewhat diluted. You understand it better, but it's somewhat diluted, really. Why?
In order for you to understand it, it probably has to be diluted.
Correct. So you have to know, because Bina is really bringing it down so that you as a person with your limited faculties can now grasp it properly. At Chochma, it's at the stage where it's a bit beyond you. But that's exactly what we're trying to understand. So it's like kind of a koyach, but ma, what is it? It's not really a koyach. So what I heard from my father many times, and he used to say this, and also Chassidim used to say, when they explain these concepts, he used to say, Chochma is how the concept grabs you. Bina is how you grab the concept. You understand? That's why the clarity and the truth is so much more powerful with Chochma. Right? Bina, the understanding is stronger, the clarity is less. Because clarity and understanding are two different things. The Bina is, you understand it.
Clarity is less, but you understand
it. You understand it, right. Okay. Now, that's the power of Chacham Bina, because that's why it says in Kabbalah that there's a pasuk first of all, it says, Havein b'chachma, you should understand with Chacham. What does it mean? Because in Zohar, I think it's a Zohar, or the result, it says that Chochma Bina are train ray in the Loi Misparshan. They're two friends that don't separate. In other words, the kunst is to keep them together. In other words, like this. That Chochma without Bina will just dissipate. It will disappear. It's very clear. It's very, I get it, but then if you don't think about it afterwards, it doesn't have any effect on you. Bina will last. If you understand something properly, it's going to last. The problem is, if while you're doing the Bina, you're forgetting about the Chochma, it's very easy to become distorted. Right? That's why you have to bring the Chochma into Bina, but anchor it in the Chochma, so that the truth is still there. But you have to take it down. You have to dilute it to some degree, but it also has to be connected and harnessed and matim, in line with the truth of Chochma. Alright? That's why it says many places that Chochmah is Re'iyah. Chochmah is like seeing, and Bina is like understanding, right? If someone opens a bonnet of a car and you see the whole engine, you see the whole thing, right? You understand what's going on there? No.
You turn the thing and it goes.
Yeah, exactly. But you saw it, right? Is it there? Absolutely. The clarity is unbelievable. Understanding, very weak. Because you're seeing something that's beyond you, right? If I explain to you how the engine works, no, it won't be me, but I'm saying if someone explains the engine's work, you might understand it. Do you see it? No. Is the clarity? No. Understanding is better, the clarity is weaker. Right? That's why later on in Tanya, much later, it says that on a conscious level, the bittul of a Jew, the complete surrender to Hashem, is like the chokhmah of the nefesh. It's like the link to something higher than us. Right? It's the thing. The idea is then to bring it down to understand. We need to bring it consciously, so we understand the concept. But it starts off with a chachma. In other words, it's an understanding, but our understanding of humility, it's an understanding of something that is beyond us. Because, I mean, this is generally true in all in intellect, but especially in godliness. When a person tries to understand something, there are people that generally in life only use Bina, which means they only understand things that relate to them, then they're very limited. The real tool of thinking is you think beyond yourself. You're ready to receive something beyond you. Okay, that's generally, but I'm saying particularly in an Nefesh L'Kis, we're talking about understanding a godly idea, the chap. It's got to start with, oh, I'm connected to something higher than me. until I think about it and I get it, because it grabs me. And then I have to grab it. That's Chacham Avinu, essentially. Okay? Let's just see how he says it over here. He says, that's why I just said this because I want to explain what it means, koyach ma. It's a koyach, but it's not really a koyach. In other words, it's something transcendent, but it is a koyach. It's considered, it's enumerated as the process of understanding, but it's a little bit higher than understanding. In other words, it's that combination of the truth, the flash, the revelation, which is beyond my intellect, but it's coming into intellect already. I'm getting it, but it's grabbing me rather than I'm grabbing it. Then he says, right? Then he says, but then when you take this like potential almost into actuality, which means shemizboinein besichloi, when you understand and you mizboinein. Mizboinein means to think, hisbonenus, right? Which is like almost like meditation. Hisbonenus means to like internalize, to think. Comes the same word as bina. Bina means to really think through something properly, right? When you understand in your seichel, to really understand something properly, to its greatest depth, but you're understanding it in the context and from where it came from, which is the chochma in your power of thinking, then nikro bina, then it's called bina. Right? And then he says something which he didn't say before. Before he called the three levels of intellect mothers, now he breaks it down. He says, these two things, Chochmah and Bina, is Av or Eim, it's the mother and the father. Hamoylido is Av as Hashem, Yirase Bepachte. And they give birth to Midos, they give birth to love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. Right? So why do you break it down to masculine and feminine, to mother and father? That's exactly what it is. Right? That's the masculine energy and feminine energy. Masculine energy is the power of newness, something new that wasn't there before. But on its own, it just disappears, it dissipates. Feminine energy is process, so give birth. Right? That's why it's a father and a mother. Av and Eim, Chochmah and Bina is father and mother, which then give birth to Chesed and Gvura, which is it's called here Av as Hashem, love of Hashem, and fear of Hashem. So we're going to stop soon. But the next part of the parak, first of all, he gives a bit of an example how the process works. That through thinking about Hashem, you give birth to the love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. He's going to explain that for a bit. And then towards the end of the perek, he's going to come to das. Because really, all this happens, the father and the mother can only do this if there's das. And we'll explain das, we get what das means. Das means connection, in other words, because you can think about something, but we know a lot of times people can think about something and it doesn't give birth to anything. You can understand a concept. You can go to a very deep Chassidus shiur and understand the greatness of Hashem at a very great level. And doesn't move you at all, right? Because you need das. Because das. So das means connection. We'll see. Das means like really connecting into it and internalizing it properly. And also das in Chumash means intimacy. So it's like Chochmah is mother and father. Das is intimacy, which gives birth to the thing. Which we'll see. We'll see when we get there. We'll not be having a shiur next Tuesday, as it is Purim. We'll shiur the week after.
Can you just do those five levels again, just in recap? Three intellectual, just the five levels.
Of the neshama?
Yeah.
So it's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, and yechida. So the first three are conscious levels. And to break them down, nefesh is more, we call behavior. In other words, like malchus. In other words, it's really putting into place thought, speech, and action. The ruach is the emotions, the six midas, and neshama is the three. Chochmah bina das. And then chaya is the subconscious driver. So it's like rotzen.
So that's the third level.
No. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. That's three. Behavior, emotion, and intellect. Yeah?
Okay.
And then comes chaya, which is rotzen, desire, conviction, pleasure. And then yichidah, which is the essence of the neshama. Okay. All right.
Um